There is breaking news tonight. A passenger plane has just crashed in Mexico. The plane going down shortly after takeoff. Over 100 people on board. Smoke and flames coming from the cabin. Emergency crew is racing to reach the scene right now. An urgent last-minute fight to stop so-called ghost guns. Made of plastic, 3D, printed from home, and instructions on how to make them could be legally posted online. Lawmakers and law enforcement sounding the alarm.
It's a killer's dream. It's a hitman's dream. It's a terrorist's dream, a hijacker's dream. Somebody who wants to hurt you can make their own gun.
Facebook blowing the lid off an apparent new effort to influence the next election less than 100 days away. Is Russia behind it? An NBC News exclusive. A woman went to police with allegations of sexual abuse against CBS chief Les Moonves before that bombshell report. Why authorities declined to file charges. And MASH star Alan Alda going public with a private battle. How his Parkinson's diagnosis could help others.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. There is developing news as we come on the air. A passenger plane has crashed near Durango, Mexico late today. The plane headed to Mexico City. Black smoke marking the spot of the wreckage where Aeromexico confirms one of its planes has suffered an accident. The Embraer jet apparently went down just after takeoff from the airport in northwest Mexico with over 100 people on board. NBC's Tammy Leitner has late breaking details.
Tonight, emergency crews rushing to the scene of an Aeromexico plane crash in northwest Mexico. The plane holding 97 passengers and four crew crashed because the wind was too strong, according to local reports, which said they ran out of runway. The crash happened in Durango, Mexico. We've now learned multiple people are injured and two are in critical condition. Aeromexico saying, we are working to gather additional information and will provide more details as they become available and confirmed. Our priority is to guarantee the safety of the clients and crew.
Let's turn now to a late development of the race to stop what some fear is the next gun threat. Plastic weapons, 3D knockoffs, lethal, homemade, and hard to detect. The technology is accessible and so are the guns. And tonight, a federal judge has just blocked the release of blueprints for the guns after several states took legal action to stop their release. NBC's Tom Costello has late details.
They almost look like plastic toys, but experts insist so-called ghost guns can be very lethal. Nine state attorneys general and Senate Democrats have tried to block this man, Cody Wilson, from posting free 3D printer instructions online. Late today, a federal judge agreed to an injunction.
Make no mistake about it. This is the doing of the Trump administration. This is part of a long pattern of letting the gun lobby get whatever they want.
This morning, President Trump tweeted, I am looking into 3D plastic guns being sold to the public. Already spoke to the NRA. Doesn't seem to make much sense. But it was the Trump administration that agreed Cody Wilson could post the instructions.
As long as you have the right to keep and bear arms, you have the right to make them.
After the Obama administration had sued to block him.
This changes the safety of Americans forever if this is allowed to happen.
Fred Guttenberg's 14-year-old daughter, Jamie, was one of 17 people killed in Parkland, Florida in February. Plastic guns, he fears, will mean even more senseless killings.
Now every American on the homeland is at risk. Terrorists, they want to home-produce guns now on this land? They can't.
But Cody Wilson and gun enthusiasts claim they have First and Second Amendment protections.
No, gun control is not dead. It's undead. Gun control is undead.
And various 3D instructions are online anyway. Meanwhile, the TSA has already confiscated four 3D guns at airports since 2016.
I mean, it's a killer's dream. It's a hitman's dream. It's a terrorist's dream, a hijacker's dream. Somebody who wants to hurt you can make their own gun.
3D printers range in price from several million dollars down to several thousand dollars. The better quality the printer, the better quality the gun. This printing company doesn't make guns. Cody Wilson says it doesn't matter what the judge decided. He's already put that information online. The cat's out of the bag.
Lester. All right, Tom Costello with that tonight. Thank you. Another major story we're following with less than 100 days until the midterms. Facebook sounding the alarm after uncovering what appears to be new covert efforts on its platform to influence U.S. elections. NBC's Peter Alexander with a new threat and what Facebook is doing about it.
Tonight, Facebook says it's happening again. The social media giant announcing it's removed 32 pages and accounts from Facebook and Instagram. an apparent political influence campaign ahead of November's midterms. The bogus pages stirring up divisive issues, one called Resisters, promoting a counter-protest against an upcoming white nationalist rally, even recruiting activists who Facebook says unwittingly helped build interest in the event. That page also pushing the left-wing campaign to abolish ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, part of a growing political firestorm.
The Democrats want to abandon ICE. They want to end ICE.
The pages created between March of last year and this May, picking up 290,000 followers. So who's responsible? Facebook says it doesn't know. But on Capitol Hill, lawmakers are again pointing the finger at Russia, one Republican vowing more sanctions.
That has everything but the kitchen sink in it. It'll be the sanctions bill from hell.
The new revelations after Congress recently grilled CEO Mark Zuckerberg over Facebook's handling of Russian interference in 2016.
Unfortunately, the enforcement isn't perfect. We do need to make it more proactive, and I'm committed to doing that.
I think Facebook really wants to get it right so that it can restore some of that trust among users and investors.
And tonight, Facebook says it's been working with the FBI and others. The White House tells us President Trump is aware of this latest disinformation campaign and that they applaud the actions Facebook is taking. Lester?
Peter Alexander at the White House, thanks. A dramatic back and forth today in a Virginia courtroom as the trial is officially underway for Paul Manafort. It's the first case brought by special counsel Robert Mueller to go before a jury. It could send President Trump's former campaign chairman to prison. Our justice correspondent Pete Williams was in the courtroom.
Though Paul Manafort was the Trump campaign chairman for 3 months, this trial is not about that. For nearly a decade, Robert Mueller's prosecutors told the jury today, Manafort made millions representing Russia's neighbor, Ukraine, and its president, Viktor Yanukovych, a Putin ally, but stashed at least 15 million of it in overseas banks to avoid paying taxes. Prosecutors say he also lied to banks to get nearly 25 million in loans on his houses. But Manafort's lawyer told the jury that the man who hid the money from the IRS was Manafort's former business partner, Rick Gates, who has pleaded guilty and will testify. The defense says Gates was embezzling money from the lobbying firm. Manafort has defended his overseas lobbying as promoting democracy.
Well, the work I was doing in Ukraine was to help Ukraine get into Europe, and we succeeded.
President Trump's name wasn't even mentioned in court today, and he has distanced himself from Manafort in recent months.
He worked for me, what, for 49 days or something? A very short period of time.
Today, he again attacked Robert Mueller, tweeting, collusion is not a crime, but that doesn't matter because there was no collusion. Paul Manafort is 69. If convicted, he could get up to 10 years in prison. Lester?
Pete Williams in Virginia. Now to our NBC News exclusive in the scandal surrounding CBS Network chief Les Moonves. We've learned a woman went to Los Angeles police last year with sexual abuse allegations against Moonves dating back to the 1980s. But Moonves is not facing charges in that case. NBC's Morgan Radford explains why.
Tonight, what may be a seventh woman accusing CBS CEO Les Moonves of sexual misconduct. Prosecutors in Los Angeles declined to pursue charges stemming from those claims earlier this year because they say the statute of limitations expired. The unidentified woman went to police last year, reporting one incident from 1986 and two others from 1988, according to an official document obtained by NBC News.
If the statute of limitations has expired, there's simply no way to bring a case, no matter how strong the evidence is.
This following the bombshell New Yorker report last week. The article details six women's accounts that include accusations ranging from forcible touching or kissing to physical intimidation between the 1980s and the 2000s. Stephen Colbert speaking out on his CBS show.
Les Moonves is my guy, and I like working for him. But accountability is meaningless unless it's for everybody.
Moonves saying in part, I recognize that there were times decades ago when I may have made some women uncomfortable by making advances. Those were mistakes and I regret them immensely. And I have never misused my position to harm or hinder anyone's career. In a statement last Friday, CBS said, we do not believe, however, that the picture of our company created in the New Yorker represents a larger organization that does its best to treat its tens of thousands of employees with dignity and respect. Moonves, who is staying in place during the independent investigation, is expected to speak at a CBS earnings call on Thursday. Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
Now to alarming new developments in North Korea. Despite Kim Jong-un's recent halt of all missile and nuclear testing, there's new evidence his regime is secretly building new ballistic missiles capable of reaching the U.S. NBC Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Andrea Mitchell with that story.
Tonight, generals from North and South Korea meeting at the DMZ to ease tensions. But now stunning intelligence that Kim Jong-un is secretly building new long-range missiles that could reach as far as New York or Washington, coming just days after President Trump was bragging about his success at the Singapore summit.
We had a fantastic meeting with Chairman Kim, and it seems to be going very well.
Arms control experts tell NBC News a July 7th satellite photo shows three heavy-duty trucks, indicating North Korea is building long-range missiles at a plant outside Pyongyang, often visited by Kim.
When we look at satellite photographs and we look at the country's propaganda, it's been business as usual all year before and after the summit.
The Secretary of State acknowledged the regime is still producing nuclear weapons fuel, as first reported by NBC News last month.
North Korea continues to produce fissile material, nuclear bomb material. Is that correct?
Yes, they continue to produce fissile material.
The intelligence community has been warning North Korea cheats.
I'm not surprised the North Koreans might be trying to hide some things, try to be deceptive.
The worries say critics that the president relies too much on personal diplomacy.
He has to understand it's not just a question of how to express what he believes or what he wants people to believe is happening. He really needs to make progress on these very thorny national security issues.
And Lester, tonight, Iran's leaders are rejecting President Trump's offer this week to meet with them as worthless, only a week after Mr. Trump had threatened them on Twitter. Contradictory signals that have confused friends and foes alike, Lester.
All right, Andrew, you don't get to leave until we acknowledge 40 years at NBC. This is your anniversary. Congratulations.
It's been a privilege every year of it.
Well, we are all proud to call you our colleague.
Thank you, Lester.
Thank you. You're the best. There's no relief in sight for firefighters battling the massive inferno sweeping through communities in California. 12,000 more homes now being threatened by the out-of-control flames. And our Miguel Almaguer remains on the front lines.
With flames sweeping across homes in wine country, this is what Mendocino's complex fire looks like on the front lines.
This blaze is moving too quickly. All of the homes behind me are gone.
With 15 large wildfires in California, more than 1,200 structures lit up, most in the city of Redding. Michelle Woods is a nurse at Dignity Health, one of 40 employees who lost their homes but still showed up to care for the terminally ill.
There's a greater cause than this immediate thing that's going on with me and my family. It's not all about that.
Tonight, two other large fires, the Mendocino complex, threatening to converge into one monster blaze.
This fire is just really outrunning us.
You can see flames have been racing down this hillside for the last several minutes. This tree is going up. Everything here is going to burn.
With 44,000 evacuated, tonight these infernos are showing no mercy, taking homes and lives. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Lake County, California.
We're going to turn out of that public revelation from the beloved star of MASH, Alan Alda, the 82-year-old detailing his private battle with Parkinson's disease, the latest celebrity to reveal a Parkinson's diagnosis after Neil Diamond and Linda Ronstadt. As NBC's Rahema Ellis reports, Alda says he's hoping his case can help others.
Alan Alda soared to fame as Hawkeye, the quick-witted surgeon in the TV series MASH.
When do we have a drink?
Played a politician on The West Wing.
I think I'm Republican enough.
Was an Oscar nominee for The Aviator. Now his most dramatic turn, revealing on CBS he was diagnosed more than 3 years ago with Parkinson's.
I've had a full life since then.
Alda said his first symptoms were acting out in his sleep.
I was having a dream that someone was attacking me and I threw a sack of potatoes at them. What I was really doing is throwing a pillow at my wife.
Wow.
The disease of the nervous system causes tremors, stiffness, poor balance, and difficulty speaking. In his most recent role off-screen, Alda has been an advocate for better communication about science and says that's why he's speaking out now.
In the very beginning, to be immobilized by fear and think the worst thing has happened to you, it hasn't happened to you. You still have things you can do.
Today, Alda posted this video of himself juggling, saying he'll maintain a busy schedule with his podcast, acting, playing tennis, enjoying his life. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, New York.
Still ahead as we continue tonight, a Vietnam veteran is shot and killed by police while protecting his own home. It's a tragic case of mistaken identity. We'll tell you more about it. And the parking garage collapsing and crushing cars below. Hope you can stay with us. Back now with questions swirling over a fatal police shooting in Colorado. A department under scrutiny after an officer opened fire and killed a military veteran who had just defended his home from an intruder. NBC's Gadi Schwartz now with what appears to be a tragic mistake.
In Aurora, Colorado, a police shooting investigation that started with calls to 911 for help. Richard Black, a Vietnam vet, had found an intruder in his home and in a confrontation shot and killed him.
Officers arrived on scene and heard gunfire.
When police went inside, they described a chaotic scene.
Officers confronted an armed male. The male was shot.
But the man they shot and killed was Richard Black, the homeowner, not the suspect who had broken into the house. After police searched the home, they discovered the intruder in the bathroom already shot and killed. Investigators calling it a heartbreaking and tragic situation for everyone involved. The officer who shot the homeowner has been placed on paid administrative reassignment. Former LAPD SWAT member Scott Reet says homeowners have the right to defend themselves.
They have that gun in their hand. The police get there. What do?
When the police arrive, as soon as they arrive, place the weapon down, stay away from it, and comply with every single directive they issue.
But in Aurora, the question now centers around police. Exactly what happened? And could officers have done anything differently to prevent killing a man who was defending his own home? Gadi Schwartz, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Coming up, new troubles for Chipotle. We'll tell you what's brewing now. And caught on camera, the aquarium heist you have to see to believe. A scary scene today in suburban Dallas. A parking garage packed with cars, part of it suddenly giving way, part of the top floor collapsing, sending dozens of cars plummeting below. Firefighters race to the scene searching for anyone trapped. Remarkably, authorities say nobody was injured. New trouble tonight for Chipotle after a series of foodborne illness scares within the last few years. Officials in Ohio are investigating a new scare at a Chipotle. Health officials say they received more than 100 calls from people reporting illnesses after eating at the restaurant in Powell, north of Columbus. The company says it temporarily closed that restaurant out of an abundance of caution and is cooperating with health officials. And you've never seen a heist like this one before. Caught on camera, a man appearing to scoop a small shark named Miss Helen out of a tank and into a bucket at the San Antonio Aquarium. The suspects allegedly disguised it in a stroller to make their getaway, but police found them and Miss Helen was safely returned. We'll take a break. When we come back, the summer camp tradition that may be old-fashioned, but these kids are loving it. Our snapshot is next. For generations of us, that song brings to mind those letters home from summer camp. And even in this day and age when we feel like we have to be connected all the time, summer camps are keeping that handwritten tradition alive. And the kids are loving it in our nightly snapshot. Every summer, millions of kids leave their parents behind and their cell phones, too. At camp, they're forced to communicate the old-fashioned way with handwritten letters. And guess what? They like it.
I write home almost every day, and especially on letter writing days. I have a lot to say.
I think it's better than text messaging or emailing because you just can express yourself more through a letter, like what stationery you use, how you're feeling at the moment.
At Camp Canadensis, tucked in the Pocono Mountains, kids write letters home at least 3 times a week.
It's one of the old-fashioned camp things to do. And that's sort of what camp is all about, just the small things.
Dear Mom and Dad, I miss you so, so much.
Camp for the past 3 weeks has been amazing.
I'm having a great time at camp. Today, I'm going to Newborn.
And then there are some letters that make parents cringe and laugh.
They're forcing me to write, but they can't make me tell you anything. Viva la resistance!
I'm only smiling in the picture so you think I'm having fun. I'm not.
My counselors are making me do this.
Free expression at its best. But isn't that what camp is about?
Here at camp, we want them to get lost in the world of who they are, what they can be, and the friendships that they can make here.
Dear Mom and Dad,
you definitely miss me more than I miss you.
Absolutely priceless. There's nothing better than a handwritten letter from your kids, no matter what the message. As always, we appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.